Please open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Christian, you have hope for fellowship with God. You have hope for fellowship with God. What sin caused in separation from fellowship with God, we now have provision to be brought back into fellowship with God. And if you are a Christian, you have been brought back into fellowship with God. This is great news. This is the gospel. And as we prepare our hearts to take communion together, I'd like to direct our attention to two critical realities regarding Jesus in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. First, look at verse 1 with me. It reads, "My little children," this is 1 John 2, verse 1, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." First, consider the reality of Jesus as our advocate. What is an advocate? The word here creates the scene of a courtroom, and our advocate is more than a lawyer pleading our case. Rather, he is a friend of the accused. He is our friend who eagerly and willfully steps in and personally urges the judge to decide in our favor. You, Christian, have a defense being made for you before the Father by Jesus. In this courtroom, the Father is the supreme judge of the universe. The Father is the author, interpreter, and applier of the law. And the Father has the complete right and power to cast every sinner into eternal hell and punishment for their sins. And yet, those who are saved need not fear divine judgment and wrath, because they have an advocate with the Father. And he is Jesus Christ, the righteous one. We have an advocate who pleads on our behalf with the Father, and our advocate is undefeated. He has never lost a case. Christ is not only the advocate for Christians before the Father, but he is also the propitiation for our sins. This is the second critical reality regarding Jesus. Look at verse 2. It reads, "And he himself," that is Jesus, "is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Jesus turned God's wrath away from sinners to himself and thus removed all of their guilt and all of their condemnation. Jesus turned God's wrath away from you, Christian, and took it on himself. What is propitiation? It means satisfaction or appeasement. Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross satisfied, it appeased God's wrath. And Jesus himself is the propitiation. Listen, Jesus doesn't make propitiation for our sins. He himself is the propitiation for our sins. In the Old Testament, there was a high priest who would sacrifice a lamb to make propitiation for sins. Jesus is that lamb for you, believer. He is the sacrificial victim and the high priest. Jesus is and was and will be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. What kind of love is this? Do you recognize you are a sinner? Do you recognize that your sin deserves punishment? It deserves wrath. Do you believe that the only hope that you have of fellowship with God is in the work of Christ? Every sin ever committed by every person will be dealt with. Every sin will be punished, and it will be punished in one of two ways. Either God's wrath will be satisfied when an individual suffers eternally in hell, Or for all who have repented of their sins and believe in Jesus, God's wrath is satisfied by the punishment Christ received on the cross as a propitiation for sins. Which one of those categories do you fall in? If you have been forgiven your sins, if Christ is your advocate, if he has made propitiation for your sins, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we want to invite you to join us as we take the Lord's table together. In a moment, the men will come and they'll pass out a piece of bread, and that is for us to remember Christ's body that was crushed as he hung on the cross and took the wrath of God. And they'll pass out a cup of juice, and that is for you to remember Christ's blood that was shed on your behalf, believer. Take those and remember Christ. Remember his great work as our advocate, as the propitiation for our sins. If you do not believe, if you fall in the other category, if you are still under the wrath of God, then I would plead with you, be under that wrath no more. Repent and turn to Christ this morning. Place your hope and trust in him. Confess yourself to him as a sinner in need of an advocate, in need of help in regards to your sin, and take. But if you will not, if you'll stiffen your neck, if you'll harden your heart, if you'll continue down the broad path, then we'd ask that you'd simply let the bread, let the cup pass by. Don't take it, as this is a time for believers to remember their Christ, their Savior. Lastly, look at the end of verse 2. It reads, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. Briefly, for the sake of clarity, John is not saying that Jesus died for every person everywhere. That is in direct conflict with much of the message of 1 John, much less all of Scripture. Jewish Christians would have understood the word propitiation because of their being familiar with the Old Testament sacrificial system. However, John is making a strong statement that Jesus died not to propitiate for Jews only, but for all classes of people and nations. What Scripture teaches is not an unlimited atonement, but a limited atonement, which is a specific appeasement of the wrath of God for all whom God saves. And what a glorious Savior and God we have, who will not compromise his justice for grace, but lets grace burst forth through divine justice as Jesus Christ, he himself, appeases God's wrath through his death on the cross. Do not partake of the Lord's table today unimpressed by Jesus. He is truly wonderful. The men are going to come and they're going to pass out the bread and the cup. Christian, take and remember your Savior. Take them on your own this morning.